Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and it is my guy Fran Duffy's time to shine here on The College Draft podcast. Fran is an absolute stud, works for the Eagles. Check him out on Twitter, at FDuffy3. You're basically getting an NFL-level scout here, breaking down the players each and every week. And today, we are starting with the quarterbacks. We will be joined by Matt Waldman of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. He is a stud as well. I am merely Ross Tucker, former offensive lineman, adding my insight from time to time. Fired up, by the way, to break down some of these O-linemen when we get to the O-line position group. Should be fun. We're presented today by Rich Uncles. We know some of you are actual college prospects that want to hear what Fran has to say about you as a prospect. Well, guess what? After you get drafted and you get that money, think about going to richuncles.com. It's a REIT. That's a real estate investment trust. You guys are young. You're probably not familiar. They own commercial property, collect rent from very high creditworthy tenants, and then you get a monthly cash dividend, currently 7% annualized, not too shabby. Like any investment, there's some risks, not guaranteed. So go to richuncles.com and check out Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. That's richuncles.com, or you can call if you want to talk to me on the phone. I get it. I doubt it for you young guys, but okay. 855-RICH-UNCLES. Let them know you heard about them on the College Draft podcast.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response, will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
Speaking of money and how to invest it, Fran, there's a couple guys that we've seen have injuries now, surgeries. It seems like every week now, two more of these guys pop up. This week it was Reuben Foster, John Ross. What's the deal with them before we get to Matt, and how much you think it hurts them?
Well, with Reuben Foster, it was announced that he's going to get some rotator cuff surgery. He's going to miss the combine. He will be ready for training camp, but they're saying about a four-month rehab process. That's courtesy of Adam Kaplan from ESPN. Has never had issues with injuries as a senior, really. He missed one game in his freshman year in 2014. He did have a knee injury late in his career in high school, but with his time with the Tide, no real issues. So it's not like an issue where you're worried about him being injury prone, and it is a shoulder. So it's just a matter of rehabbing it and getting it back healthy. Not quite the same for John Ross from Washington, who he's got the labrum surgery that he's going to go with after the combine. Remember last year, there were all the rumors about Shaq Lawson, who was a first round pick with the Buffalo Bills, that he had the issues with the shoulder going into the combine. He waited until after the draft to get surgery and ended up missing half the year. So we don't know if that's going to happen here with John Ross, but Ross has a little bit of an injury history. I mean, going back to after the 2015 year, so a year ago or 2 years ago now at this time, he had surgery to repair two meniscus tears in his right knee after his sophomore season, and that was his right leg. Later that year, tore his ACL in his left knee. So he's had surgeries on both knees. Now you're talking about potential surgery to repair an injured labrum in his shoulder after the combine as well. For a guy who is listed at 5'11", 173 pounds, which is it's kind of rail thin, now you're worried about can his body hold up. So when things like that become a pattern, then it could affect him. I still think Ross is probably going to be a top 50 pick kind of guy. I will be interested to see, though, when he gets stacked up against players like a Carlos Henderson, who's been pretty clean off the field from an injury standpoint, or a Dede Westbrook, who's got his own set of issues. But a lot of other players that are considered to be in that realm of top 50, top 60 picks at the receiver position, how much it then affects John Ross.
Best available interview.
Well, as promised, today's best available interview is the one and only Matt Waldman. Those of you that have been listening to this podcast, the College Draft podcast, You've heard him before. He also has made numerous appearances both on my radio show as well as the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is the creator of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. He also is on the staff over at Football Guys. He and Fran are two of the most underrated, underappreciated draft analysts out there. And you can follow Matt. You should, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not following Matt, you're doing it wrong. It's at Matt Waldman. He always has unique opinions on guys and strong opinions. Matt, today we're doing quarterbacks. And I want to start by asking you about a guy that it feels like is starting to get a whole lot of momentum right now. I've even seen some people out there that are willing to say he's the best quarterback in the draft. And that's Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech. What do you think?
You're going to have to add me to that list. And the reason is you really have to look at quarterbacks kind of philosophically about how they fit with how you want your team to be and how you want a team to be run in terms of an offense. And with Mahomes, he's not a guy for the faint of heart. If you're an ultra-conservative offensive guy, he's probably not going to be the one that you're going to want until maybe later on, and then you're going to wish that you had him. And the reason is this is the guy who he makes throws from pretty much every platform possible. He's got a great arm. But the thing about him is that people look at him and say, oh, he plays in an air raid system. He's another kind of Manziel, kind of wild guy on the field. But we got to remember that Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Matt Stafford, those guys are kind of wild guys on the field, too, who matured. And the thing about Mahomes that I like is that when you watch his game carefully, he actually throws the ball away out of bounds to avoid getting sacked or making bad throws more often than pretty much any quarterback I've studied in this class. And the throws that he does make that seem wild, he tends to make those throws because of his great arm, pinpoint accuracy, and you see the ability to find that second man even though he's in that air raid system. And the thing that's going to matter here is fit for him, because all these great physical skills, some of these really good skills in terms of being able to read the field and make plays, not only in the short game with quick feet, even though his feet need some work to enhance his accuracy with drops. The thing is that with the air raid system moving on to maybe a West Coast system, it's going to be like learning Chinese. And it doesn't matter how, you know, funny you are, how intelligent, how perceptive, empathetic you are. All those things may be in your personality as someone who grew up an English speaker. But when you're learning Chinese and you're trying to learn how to say, where's the bathroom in a crowded market, and they're going to give you, you know, 5 minutes worth of directions at the rate I'm talking right now in Chinese, you're not going to be any of those things for a while. That's what happened to a guy like Jared Goff, you know, switching over to a West Coast system. But the thing with Mahomes that's interesting is because of that great arm, because of his ability to avoid pressure in the pocket and make some of these audacious plays, he might have a chance to have a little more success earlier on if he is thrown in there. The issue is long-term development, and it always is with these guys. But I love the physical skills and just the feel for the game in the way that he plays it.
Matt, I'm really glad that you feel that way, because I hate to be the bucket of cold water, but I feel the exact, not the exact opposite, because actually I think you made a lot of really good points about long-term development, about some of the issues that he does have. And I do agree that, you know, his natural arm talent is up there as one of the best in this class alongside DeShone Kizer. I think the fact that he's got the ability to make those throws on the run, that was one thing that stood out to me watching him in 2015 last year over the summer, was that his accuracy from the pocket carries over to when he's on the run. And that's something that you don't often see with quarterbacks at the college level, is that natural ball placement to still be present when he's on the move. You mentioned all the arm angles that he's able to complete passes from. Sometimes I think that's a little bit from his own doing as opposed to having to do it from necessity. But certainly a guy that has all the physical tools that you want. I just really struggle with him, man, because I think when you look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and you mentioned Rodgers, so much of his play last year, especially early, was done outside of structure, and yet they were still winning, they were still putting up numbers, but everyone was pointing and saying, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers, like, he's not playing well. And I think when you have that kind of spontaneous, I don't want to say erratic or randomization of play. You can, it's exactly that. Like, you know, our friend Greg Cosell will say that exact same thing. We'll say, you know, it is exactly that. It is spontaneous. It is random. And like a Manziel coming out of Texas A&M, I just worry about Mahomes' ability to play within structure of an NFL offense, because even guys like a Jared Goff coming from the air raid, those guys played within structure. You know, guys like Brandon Whedon and Geno Smith, guys that have had so many issues coming from those offenses, still played within structure of that offense. So if he doesn't play within structure of that offense, if you're an NFL team with a more developed and a little bit more complicated scheme, what gives you any thought that he would be able to then play within structure in your scheme? So that, I do think he's going to get drafted higher than where I personally would take him. But I think it's going to be a long projection, man. I agree. I think that he would have, you know, just like Manziel. I think Manziel, when he got early reps with Cleveland, you saw some of that Johnny football magic, and he's running around, he's making plays. And I think Mahomes, if he is thrown in, and I expect this preseason when he goes in there, we're going to see some of those crazy plays from him. I just worry about his long-term, you know, ability to kind of transition to the NFL style of play.
Yeah, and it's a really great point that you make about all that. The thing about, I would say, about Manziel, though, is I think we saw is that Manziel didn't take anything seriously enough. You know, and the maturity factor off the field was such a big deal that I think that it sometimes we have to look at what Mahomes brings to the table from that end before we can make that comparison fairly to him. And we have to remember that there was one game against Pittsburgh. It was the second game, I think, against Pittsburgh, where he actually played within himself in the pocket and looked like an NFL quarterback. And you thought, wow, you know, if this guy actually would grow up and be a mature young man and approach the game in the way that he needs to, you see the flash of what could be done. And I would argue that Mahomes has a bigger arm. He's a bigger guy. He also seems to play with less recklessness in terms of the decisions that he does make at this stage of his career than Manziel did. But the risks, like you said, totally valid. And I would agree that compared to a guy like Kaiser, you know, a guy that I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute, you know, certainly he's the girl with the curl. He's a wild child when it comes to being a prospect and what he does on the field.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting just to see how, you know, he's able to transition and how he's able to develop once he reads. It's going to be a very interesting case study for sure, because there's not a lot of guys that come out of college that are like him. So let's move. He's obviously, I think, the most polarizing quarterback in this class. Let's go to another guy I think you could say the same thing about, and that's Deshaun Watson from Clemson. Was considered by most to be a surefire top five guy this time last year going into the season. But now everyone seems to kind of soften up on him a little bit. What are your overall thoughts on Watson as a quarterback prospect?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with him from a level of saying no one should take him, you know, when it comes to on the field. You know, there's some people when it comes to polarizing, they think, well, he's, you know, maybe he's not a guy that I'd even want to draft or develop. But I think that he's a guy that can develop into a solid starting quarterback in the NFL, depending on who picks him in the timeline and all those factors that we always talk about. But I love the fact that, you know, even though he plays in an offense where there's some preset plays to one side of the field, I've seen him make some reads to the opposite side. I've seen him hold a safety. I've seen him be able to see that safeties are rotating pre-post snap and make the right decision against that or against blitzes from linebackers and safeties. But what concerns me about him, where, you know, other quarterbacks like even Mahomes we mentioned, you know, when I look at his accuracy when things are kind of off kilter, or he has to make throws in the middle of the field, the accuracy seems to be off a little bit. It's not pinpoint. When he throws into tighter windows, it tends to be behind or a little bit of a beat late. I tend to see him not reading underneath coverage very well and throwing into those drops, which, you know, younger guys tend to do. And he tends to take the back door out as a runner when he has an opportunity to maybe hang in there and make some of the throws that he should. So I think the promise is there for him to develop, but he's a guy that I would hate to see dropped in there right away and asked to play as a rookie, because I don't think, you know, conceptually what he did at Clemson, unless he's in a situation, you know, like say Dak Prescott was in, where, you know, he's got some strength around him in terms of a really strong surrounding cast where things kind of fall together, and then you play, you know, you're able to add pieces incrementally to your game throughout and continue to have that positive reinforcement that helps aid your confidence and aid your ability to do the things and build on those types of concepts that you're going to build on as a, you know, as a young player, because I think that he's got a number of things that he's going to have to build upon first.
Matt, I know you touched on it a little bit. What do you not like about Kizer?
There's times where he's a little bit of a beat late with throws where he doesn't trust. You go to that, you know, that second step of a three-step drop or that third or fourth step of a fifth, five-step drop, and you can tell looking at what he's looking at that he at first – he has recognition of the route breaking open based on what he's looking at on coverage, and he hesitates. He doesn't fire. He doesn't fire that ball on time. He'll hinge a beat. He'll take an extra beat to throw it, and then it's gone. And he ends up, you know, throwing an inaccurate ball, throwing an interception. He doesn't trust himself. Now, at the same time, we've seen Alex Smith have that same issue sometimes, where he doesn't trust himself downfield with some of the throws that he. That it's open and it's there and you want to hit it as soon as you see it. And I think that that's something that I worry about with him to an extent. Otherwise, I mean, there's things about him that I think as a field general, his ability to hang in the pocket and to climb the pocket and make some throws is there. And I like the arm. I certainly like some of the play action that I've seen from him. I can see him making some full field reads and working to his, you know, first and second option. So I think there's some work to build on there that is also very good. But I do have concerns about him trusting what he sees. And, you know, to me, that's a conceptual thing that you wonder, can that be taught? Does that come with more confidence with what you know? Or is that a situation that, just like any type of performer in any kind of field, when the lights come on and the pressure's on, do you hesitate, or are you a guy that just plays lights out?
Matt, I think you could say a lot of the same things about a guy like Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina. Obviously a small sample size this year, but you talk about the field general qualities, led them on that game-winning field goal drive late with some big-time throws against Florida State. He had that 18-play drive with 3.5 minutes left against Pitt, faced 4th and 6 plus 3 times on that game-winning drive, converted on each. But like you said, has some issues trusting what he sees at times. I've always seen that he's kind of had some issues recognizing pressure before the snap and then dealing with it after. What are some of the things that you like about Trubisky, and what are some of the red flags that you have about him as a prospect?
Yeah, you touched on some of the same things I'm seeing. You know, I think I like the promising intermediate accuracy, and he does find some second and third reads often enough that makes you feel good about what he's seen with the field at times. And I like, you know, obviously he can leave the pocket. He can find options downfield. He has that requisite arm strength and a little bit more to be able to throw the ball from off balance platforms, you know, in the intermediate range. And I like that he feels pressure and he can slide and deliver accurately from the pocket those times. And there's some flashes of that pinpoint accuracy with the big time throws, those deep opposite hash throws with pressure in his face. And like you said, he has set his team up for a lot of winning opportunities in multiple games. There's some inconsistencies with his accuracy. Some of that can be cleaned up. That front leg can be kind of straight at times and throw. But to me, conceptually, it's the biggest concern. You know, the post-snap decisions, you know, he hasn't really gauged the depth of coverage on a consistent basis. Maybe where pre-snap, he hasn't really gauged where they are, or he ignores the coverage outright where he should be looking elsewhere. I think he struggles with those late pre-snap adjustments, and you're going to see a lot more of those in the NFL where the safety moves just before the snap, the linebacker shifts just before the snap, and he'll end up throwing into coverage on checkdowns or on second reads as a result. And what I find interesting, too, is he most problematic of all the quarterbacks we've talked about thus far to me is that he doesn't throw the ball away as often as he should, and there's a lot of times where you know, he had opportunities to either check down or throw the ball away, and he ended up getting himself to a lot of trouble in situations backed up in his own end zone because he wanted to be the hero, or he thought, I've come this far being able to avoid pressure. Let me try and finish it, when maybe the best thing to do was to just live for another down.
Matt, last question. Really appreciate your time as always. And the people, like I said earlier, aren't following you on Twitter at Matt Waldman, and you're listening to the College Draft Podcast, you're missing out, because you can just tell, listen to this guy. He is on top of it. Give me one other guy, Matt, one other guy that we didn't talk about. It's not one of the big four names. Give me one other guy that you really like and think could be somebody that could be a good quarterback out of this class.
I'm going to give you a name that I just think is he intrigues me, is Jerod Evans out of Virginia Tech. 6'4", 235. He's a big, big guy. He's quick. He's got solid footwork. He can run, but he also has some pinpoint accuracy, short. I like his short game mechanics, but he also has the power to throw in the tight spots, and he trusts his receivers downfield. Now, when you have guys like Isaiah Ford and the tight end hybrid that they've got on that team, certainly you can throw the ball up for grabs a little bit, but I like his play action game. I think he does pretty well going deep with accuracy off of it, and he feels pressure well enough to find to climb, find a second and third read. And I think that there's something there with this guy. If he can maybe fix a little bit of things, like he truncates his release a little bit with his hips, and that can lead to some, shorter throws on vertical routes, and he can rush his process under pressure. But, as a first-year starter, I believe, and, he had dealt with an injury. He was played at Air Force during his first year, and then got injured, had an ACL tear, ended up at a junior college, and then wound up at Virginia Tech. And there's just enough there that when I see, to me, I like quarterbacks who show aggressive tendencies and who trust their players and also have enough of the mechanical things you're looking for and the ability to read the field and make adjustments. When you can do those things, I think you have a fighting chance to develop into a good player when you have the requisite physical skills. And I think he has both of those things enough that he's probably going to be higher on my board than a lot of people.
Well, Matt, you've always been high on my board. I don't know that you can go higher. And so I'm going to leave you up there. Check out the rookie scouting portfolio. It is awesome. And he's obviously, I said a couple times, at Matt Waldman on Twitter. Thanks so much, Matt, as always.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thanks again.
Daddy Sodas.
Yes, I've been waiting all season for this. It's Fran's positional breakdown. You can listen to these all the way up until the morning of the draft. We are breaking it down like only Fran does, Daddy Soda style. Specific questions that I ask that I like to get Fran's thoughts on. Who's your favorite to watch, Fran? It might not mean he's the best, but I know, like, when I watch the offensive lineman, there's a guy that'll be my favorite. Who's your favorite guy to watch?
Well, it's hard to say, for all the reasons that we just talked about with Matt, it's hard to say that Patrick Mahomes isn't fun to watch. For all of his warts, he is a fun player to watch. But in terms of my favorite to watch that actually I think will actually be a legitimate pro prospect, I think it's Mitch Trubisky. And for a lot of the reasons that Matt mentioned too, you see some of the really good flashes from him. I mentioned some of those crunch time throws that he made against a team like Pitt, against a team like Florida State. I can remember against Pitt late in the game, there was a throw that was such a great anticipation throw. They're down by a touchdown. It was on that final drive. It was fourth down. He hit Ryan Switzer on a comeback route from the opposite hash, where he released the ball well before Switzer came out of his break. He put it on target. It was a 13-yard gain, a first down. Big-time throw, velocity, accuracy, anticipation. I can remember some of the throws he made with defenders bearing down on him against NC State, which was probably his best overall game from his career. I thought that some of his highs were really, really legit. Like, if you watch just the NC State and Florida State game, you think Mitch Trubisky is a surefire top-five guy. You just don't see it enough. And so while you're sitting there and I'm watching, you get stuck on some of those highs with him. That's what, to me, makes him my favorite to watch on film.
How about the guy that you think is being underrated by the media right now?
I think it's kind of like the chic thing to do to just like kind of poo-poo Deshaun Watson at this point. After he was getting so much love this time last year, last summer, late last spring, I think a lot of people, and I mentioned it earlier with Matt, is that he's getting, a lot of people are kind of picking him apart a little bit, and rightfully so. Honestly, when I watch Watson, there's nothing physically about him that kind of sets him apart from other prospects, right? Like, I think his arm is good. It's not great. His accuracy is a little bit up and down. He's a good athlete, but his pocket poise, he shows flashes. Anticipation, I think he shows good, you know, flashes more so than most, but still pocket movement and poise. You know, you see some good and you see some bad. But I do still think that Deshaun Watson, when it's all said and done, is one of the top two or three quarterbacks in this class. And even though it's not a great group overall, I do think that he's got the tools to be a potential starting quarterback in this class. The concerns are the learning curve that he's going to have moving to the NFL and the fact that he was just up and down this year for some of those traits that we mentioned earlier. I still think Deshaun Watson is just a little bit underrated by most of the media right now.
Who's the guy that you like, but he scares you? Who scares you in this group?
100% it's Kaiser. I think that he's got as high an upside as anybody in the group. 6'4", 230 pounds. I love his arm. I think he probably has the best arm in this class, the best natural arm. The decision-making for me was very up and down, was very questionable this year. I think his poise in the pocket. There were times early this year, I remember the Nevada game, the Texas game, he made some throws with defenders bearing down that were so impressive. You know, where you see that poise, you see that toughness. Michigan State, I can remember, he made an outstanding throw with that defender bearing down. I think it was down in the red zone. It was a really, really impressive play. You didn't see it enough. And as the season went on and as the team kind of fell apart, remember there was the defensive coordinator got fired and there was all the talk about what's going on with Brian Kelly. Kaiser kind of fell apart with it, you know, and there were talks about him getting benched. He did get benched in two of the games late in the game. One of the games he got put back into the lineup, but still there's just a lot of red flags there. And now there's the reports about, you know, how much does he love the game off the field. We've seen a couple of those reports from a guy like Tony Pauline. There's just a lot of red flags there with Kaiser that worry me more so than some of the other guys in this class.
Who's the safest guy? Who do you feel the best about just in terms of, I know what this guy is, he's the safest guy?
That's Peterman for me, easy. Yeah, and you know what? I've been talking about him now for like 6 months. Nate Peterman from Pitt, he's just 6'2.5", 225 pounds. He comes from a pro-style system. He's accurate. He's a good decision maker. He's not as toolsy as Trubisky. He's not as toolsy as Kaiser or Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. He's not as toolsy as those guys, but he's got all the traits mentally that you look for in a pro-style quarterback and in a guy that can step into the NFL right now and play for you. Obviously, there are some issues. You know, he didn't throw with anticipation as consistently as some of the other guys. He is going to be – he's a little bit on the shorter side, and he wasn't given full autonomy pre-snap, even to the level of a guy like Deshaun Watson in terms of being able to change things up from a protection standpoint. But – I do like Nate Peterman as a guy that can come in and you feel pretty good about what his floor is as a professional quarterback.
Who's a guy that you look at, and I like doing this at all the different position groups, but that you really think is scheme specific?
I think that if you're one of those like Air Coryell teams, like downfield and throwing downfield, like a Norv Turner type offense, I don't know that a Brad Kaya is a good fit for you. But I think that if you're a West Coast, you know, predominant team that relies on the timing and anticipation and the quick game, I think Kaya can be that kind of a player. The only thing about that is that his accuracy is a little bit up and down. And that's the one thing that concerns you in a system like that, because it's so reliant on proper ball placement and especially on the run and trying to hit those receivers and maximize yards after catch. That's all what the quick game is about. It's not about, you know, 3 yards and move the sticks. It's about throwing those 3-yard passes to set up yards after catch and let your playmakers make plays for you. Kaya has shown improved timing. I think his footwork got a little bit better this year. I think he really benefited from playing in Mark Richt's scheme. I would have really liked to see him go another year there at Miami. But really, ultimately, I think his arm talent is a little bit questionable. I think his accuracy, like I said, is a little bit up and down. I don't think he's an NFL starting quarterback. I do think he probably has a ceiling as a backup, but probably his best fit and one of those West Coast schemes that more utilizes the quick game aspect of the passing game.
Give me your day three gem. You know, I ask you this for every position group. I love to get the guy that you're putting your money, your mouth behind. You're standing on the table for this guy in day three.
Well, I don't know that this guy's going to go in day three anymore because he seems to be getting a little bit of buzz now. But that's Cal quarterback Davis Webb. He was the practice player of the week down in the Senior Bowl. He was in Mike Mayock's top five at the position that was released earlier this week. I'll be interested to see where Davis Webb ends up going. He does have tools that, you know, give you some hope. You know, I think he's got probably the best arm of the senior quarterbacks, you know, certainly of the guys that were down at the Senior Bowl. I thought the ball came out of his hand probably better than any of the others. His accuracy, especially downfield, I think it's a little bit worrisome. I think that his touch, though, is very, very good. He can make those bucket throws, and that's what allows him to have such a good deep ball, is that he does have good touch and is able to throw it out in front and let his receiver go get it. My question with Webb, like Patrick Mahomes, is coming from that offense, coming from the air raid scheme. The players have had issues coming from those schemes year in and year out from the college ranks to the NFL. And the other big issue, I think he does need to work on his footwork a little bit, and every quarterback has to work on his footwork. But I like his arm talent. I like the tools that he brings to the table. If I had to attach my name to one guy on day three to come in and develop and potentially be something down the road, I think it would be Davis Webb.
So you got a new category here, Fran, that I'm not familiar with. Three for one. What the heck is that?
So real quick, I'm going to go 1 minute, and I'm going to give you just quick notes, almost like 140 characters on each guy. All right, so the three guys are C.J. Beathard from Iowa, Sifo Lufau from Colorado, and Josh Dobbs from Tennessee. All three guys were at the Senior Bowl. All three guys, a little bit underwhelming down there in Mobile. Like I said, not a great quarterback class overall. But C.J. Beathard, timing, rhythm quarterback, good physical tools, but I want to see him throw with better accuracy overall, more anticipation, and more consistent poise moving forward into the NFL. Lufau is a drive thrower. He's got light feet. I think there's potential there. I've got a lot more work to do on him still. But off the bat, I do need to see improved accuracy, touch, and pocket movement in order to make me feel really, really good about his ability moving forward. That being said, I do like his physical tools. And then lastly, Josh Dobbs. We got to see him up close and personal down at the Senior Bowl. He's a half-field read quarterback right now. He just needs things kind of simplified for him. I think he's at his best when things are well-defined in front of him. Natural physical tools, but lacks true quarterback skill at this point. I like his arm. I like his athletic ability, but a true developmental player at the position.
I like your arm. I don't know about your arm. I don't know about your athletic ability. I like your work ethic, and I like your analysis. How about that, Fran? If I want more of it, I can, of course, check out the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast every week. And the position-by-position previews will continue. We got the Combine coming up before you know it as well. What position we got next week, Fran? Did we decide yet?
We haven't quite decided yet. I've got a couple in mind, so we'll play it by ear. I want to see which guest I get, and that'll help me decide which position we'll go with.
I like it. I like where your head's at. I don't like the fact, though, that the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.